What's up, guys? Back at it with another episode
from the backups.
Here we go. All
right, so in this episode, we're going to be doing a little interview of our friend Jeff Rubin, the CEO and co-founder of SportsMe. How you doing?
What's up, guys? I'm so happy to be here. How's it going?
Awesome, yeah. Can't complain.
It's going great. So we just want to dive right into it. So what is it that you do, Jeff, and how are you involved with the sports community?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I've been a sports fan like you guys my entire life. And I remember just one night I was watching a game. I didn't agree with what the announcer said. And I just felt like fans, we had a bigger purpose. We needed goals. We needed purpose. We needed power, right? Mm-hmm. And since then, I've just been – my team and I have an amazing team. We've just been building SportsMe, aligning things, getting things ready for the next wave of everything that we're adding, and really just talking to thousands of fans, hundreds of fans all the time. And that's what we're doing.
Awesome. And what about sports made you want to pursue this kind of career and like really start SportsMe? Like, what was it that really triggered you into the sports career and not other career paths?
Yeah, so you know, great question, right? So I've been in tech, Silicon Valley, HR technologies. I love sports, right? Like, I'm a huge sports fan, just like I know you guys are. So I always wanted to play sports. I always wanted to be an NBA player, but of course I'm 6'2", but I still can't dunk. So that wasn't gonna work no matter how good I could shoot or pass the ball. So I always wanted to be in the industry. And, you know, it's funny now that we're about to give fans purpose, goals, and power they've never had, I actually feel like it's more meaningful. So I love being in the sports industry because for the most part, being in the sports industry is impossible. These big companies will never hire the everyday person. And I sit back and I wonder to myself, why? What is wrong with a guy-year-old in Santa Cruz, California, or you know, a 22-year-old in Des Moines, Iowa, you know, a 37-year-old who's in Madison, Wisconsin? They have a sports opinion. Why is it that someone who's on a major network, is their opinion is more important than everyone else? And so what we want to do, what my goal is, guys, is to empower the 99.9% who have no voice and have no power. And that is my passion, and that is our goal.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I mean, like, yeah, just like as this, you know, obviously another avid sports fan, like, that's just like, it's just going to be like exciting to see like how this can grow and like how we can give more power to, like, you know, all the fans out there.
And I think at the same time, this is something that is completely brand new. It's something that hasn't been done. And there's people on there with, you know, 1,700 plus battles that just go at it. And
yep.
I think it's crazy that how fast it's picked up and how short of time, really.
Yeah, well, I'll say we have so much coming, so I can't say everything on the podcast just because we're being somewhat secretive with some things, but you guys, because I do love you guys, you know a little bit of what we're doing, there's a lot coming. So anyone who is a fan of you guys and is listening to this podcast, the world of sports very soon will be tipped upside down, and fans will have power to do things they never believed was possible. All of us uniting, Uber connectivity, and you guys can literally, anyone who's watching will be able to debate anyone you want in the world on any sports topic, and you're going to get stuff that you love and be introduced to new friends and possibly become this new wave of social media influencers or the next Stephen A. Smith, the next Ryan Hollins, who's a SportsMe co-founder. It's really up to you, and that's power.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Definitely. Speaking of Ryan Hollins, how did you guys meet and connect and really come up with the basis of sports name.
Yeah, so I met Ryan through a mutual friend who's another CEO in LA, of Ballers World, Kyle Cox, great dude. And I sat down with Ryan for dinner, and he just kept saying, we need to do this, or us, and we, and us. And I was like, wow, he is a sports media personality. He's getting to be a little bit bigger. Now he's massive, right? Like, he's Ryan's crushing it. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, he really likes what we're doing. So we had breakfast again the next morning, and we just connected. Like, it was like the start of this like amazing friendship. Ryan is one of my best friends on earth. Like, I love the dude. I know his family. Such a great family guy. He believed in what we were doing. And from the player perspective, because we do have a few NBA players who are investors or advisors in SportsMe, and we have more coming. Like, big, big, big name guys coming. Like, starters in the All-Star game coming to debate and battle all of you guys. So, that's exciting.
Wow.
So, but we're holding off on that for right now. But this is going to come soon. And Ryan, man, he just got it. And we connected. Yeah. We became close friends. And then after, like, a month or two, it was like, Ryan, just join the damn company already, because you're already basically hopping on calls with us every night to go over product stuff. And Ryan is a SportsMe advisor, and essentially he's a co-founder. He's been with us months before we ever even launched.
Wow.
That's awesome. I'm glad that he has a spot. I've watched him on Fox Sports for as long as he started appearing on Undisputed and all those shows.
Have you guys got to battle him on SportsMe yet?
We've been in some battles with him, for sure.
So let me ask you guys, you know, to your audience, what was that like to be able to battle, and what we call battles, really, just for anyone listening, debating, talking sports, asking any questions, right? What did that feel like to debate and battle with Ryan?
It was kind of like, it was just really interesting. It was kind of surreal, because it was just like you were talking about basketball. Like, you're just so used to just kind of talking to your friends or your family or whatever about it, or just talking to like a blank face over a computer. And to be able to actually talk to somebody that you know and have like listened to talk about it with, like, you know, on like the big stage on like television or whatever, it's just so crazy to be able to just kind of go one-on-one, because that's kind of always the thing that like you think about when you're watching those sports shows. You're like, if I was just there, I would just, you know, be able to, like, you know, tell them exactly what I'm thinking. So it's just a really cool experience. I mean, like, I'm excited for, yeah, it's just, no, yeah, it's really interesting.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, we get some other names coming. Essentially, we're going to make it so every single week there are new athletes, new influencers coming into the platform.
I bet they'll really like it, too. Like,
they love it.
It's a fun way to, like, interact with the fans, because I feel like stuff like Twitter, that's how they interact with them now for the most part, like forums like that. And I just feel like a face-to-face interaction would just make things so much more interesting. And like,
well, if you think about it, right? Like, the reason SportsMe makes so sense, other than a bunch of other elements that are major differentiators, are, what do we do? Like, what is, think about like the habit of a sports fan, right, guys? Like, why do we love the teams, the leagues, the fantasy, the betting, you know, the players, the stadiums, the, you know, why do we love all this stuff? And we as human beings, we just want to talk and debate sports. That's the human essence of what it is to be a fan, right? Like, you guys and your dad and your father, or you guys and your family, you guys and your friends, your boys when you were growing up, right? Like, you talked about sports.
Yeah.
You grew interested. And so Twitter is amazing. It's a wonderful platform, but that's not engagement. That is famous people having the ability to showcase their opinion to the world. And that's about it. On our platform, we empower the everyday fan to have debates and talk with athletes in a way that's meaningful and impactful on why we're humans to begin with, which is conversation and debate.
I mean, it's just a way better way to connect with people, I think. Like, it's like a face-to-face interaction.
Even yeah. Who was it? I think it was Ashley Neville, I think is her name.
Yeah.
She had Bobby Portis on there. That was super cool.
Yeah, she had B-Dot. Like she had a couple of guys on.
Yeah, she had a handful of, like, pro players that practice or whatever, and she got to, you know, ask them their take on some certain sports me battles and stuff. So just the fact to see them on there, it's very unique, and there's, like I said, nothing like it in the sports community right now.
Awesome. Well, guys, I'm excited that so much is coming, you know, things that the sports world has never seen. Soon fans will be able to take action that they've never had, they never even knew existed, stuff mm-hmm. that we only dreamed about. It's super fun and growing fast, and we're super excited.
No, yeah, I'm super excited for the whole, like, for the app and for you to see, like, what it grows to.
Yeah, for sure. And so you guys, you were just telling me that you're from Santa Cruz. So who's your 49ers fans?
Yeah, or I'm a 49ers fan.
I'm a Patriots fan.
Wow. I'm a Patriots fan, so I love that. I love it. But, like, why are you a Patriots fan?
My grandfather, he lived in Boston for an extended period, and when we used to watch the football games, he would walk in and turn the Niners off and turn on the Patriots, so I just kind of grew up with the Patriots on in the house.
Sounds like a good guy.
Definitely. But, yeah, that football, you know, I've, you know, the Niners hometown team, you know, I take those teams into second, but, you know, I'm fans of some weird teams, so it's kind of all over the place.
Nice. That's awesome. But the Patriots, big move today. What did you think?
I'm not looking for any immediate impacts, honestly, but I think later on down week 17 past, I think it can really be, you know, he can be a game changer. You know, I wouldn't put him on my fantasy team or anything just because, but for the Patriots, I think he can really make a difference in a playoff run.
Well, you've seen what Tom Brady has done with lesser talented players.
Mm-hmm. If he can't do it on the Patriots, like, he can't do it anywhere. It's like the best job he's going to get.
And you could argue that guys, that Josh Gordon is the most talented football the most talented wide receiver in football, even over AB when he's healthy.
Yeah, if he's not, you know, drinking or smoking before games or anything.
No, but do you remember 2 years ago how amazing, or 3 years ago, he was AB before AB was AB?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was putting up numbers that none of us knew how to explain.
Nope. He was getting up there into Calvin Johnson's, like, record-breaking year. Like, he has the potential.
The Browns at that point were at a way worse place than they are now, too. So it was even more amazing that he was doing it.
Yeah, like, still a bad quarterback. No, he's gonna.
You know what the Patriots need to do now, and you know what I'm gonna say: sign Dez Bryant right now. Bill, do it. Think about it: Dez and Josh Gordon with Gronk. Game over. Super Bowl.
That would be. Yeah, no, you couldn't leave all those guys one on one. Like, that would be pretty impossible to stop.
All the running backs and the slot receivers, there's just too many people to keep track of.
Well, I hope that happens.
So kind of transitioning into, like, your personal favorite, you know, you kind of told us about when you started watching sports as a kid. What's, like, your personal favorite sports moment, do you think?
Like, a couple of them.
Or Like, me personally, as, like, an athlete when I was younger, or, like, as, like, a Boston sports fan?
Like, a Boston sports fan.
Wow. So, there's so many championships to talk about. I don't want to upset anybody. you know, honestly, it was – I'm gonna say 2004 Red Sox World Series when they beat those damn Yankees in Game 7 of the ALCS. Like, that run was the greatest run I've ever seen in my life, right? As a Red Sox fan, mm-hmm. like, my grandfather always wanted to see a World Series before he died. Now he's seen three, which is amazing. But I'm sorry, he'll see four after this year. you know, it literally, like, guy, like, 86 years of suffering, and they win the World Series in, like, the most dramatic fashion possible.
That'd be, yeah.
Tom Brady and Malcolm Butler do it. And then they do it against the Atlanta Falcons. And then the Celtics do it against the Lakers in 2010. Like, I could go on. Like, the Bruins, 2-1 in there. Like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, Boston, we've had so many titles. You know, you're a Boston fan. Like, one of you guys are. I just, like, it's – I think I would say Red Sox number one. And then probably – Patriots against the Falcons was just crazy. Yeah. And then Seattle.
Yeah, no, those are a lot of good moments to choose from as a Boston fan.
Yeah. What's your favorite moment in sports, both of you?
I would probably say this wasn't like we didn't even end up winning this year, but like I'm also a Warriors fan. And probably when we came back 3-1 against the Thunder. I would say that was probably my favorite sports moment.
Yeah.
And then when we won our first championship, because that year, like, a lot of people don't really even remember. I mean, people do, but, like, people kind of forget that, like, we weren't, like, supposed to be very good that year. So it was just, like, a kind of, like that year more than any of the others were just crazy. Like,
what about on the flip side when – LeBron and Co. came back on you guys. What was that like?
Oh, that's by far the saddest moment I've had as a sports fan. But yeah, no, that was definitely a surprise. And like, I mean, you kind of saw it coming a little bit by game seven. Like, I was very nervous, but yeah, that definitely takes the cake as the worst sports moment I've had.
That's awesome.
For me, that was it's got to go in the direction for the Patriots, I think. The Seahawks Super Bowl, because that was the first one I had already had to sit through. You know, I don't really remember the 04 Super Bowl, but I did watch it. But when I really started remembering the Super Bowls was 07 and the 2011 Super Bowl for the Patriots. Those obviously being at the top of my list of painful moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Seahawks Super Bowl, just Tom Brady proving that he could do it later in his career without like a ball busting defense. I just think that first one, it was dramatic. And of course, the Falcons, you know, just ridiculous. But I think it's definitely got to be one of those two Super Bowls.
I think that Falcons game was easily one of the craziest turnarounds in sports history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even had the sports battle on Sports Me. Which one did you guys think was better, 49 or 51? And for me, I said the Falcons Super Bowl just based on at halftime, I thought it was over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody did.
Well, you know what? You know that, like, the owner of the team was coming down, like, ready to celebrate, and Matt Ryan was getting all giddy on the sidelines, like, oh, we're going to win. You know, Julio Jones, and I'm not hating Julio Jones. He's on my fantasy team, so that's awesome. But, you know, he was smiling and cracking up on the sideline with Manu, what's his name? The other receiver who's awesome.
Yeah,
Sanu. And I just remember every single friend of mine in the room was disappointed. My wife was like, we should go. And I'm like, no, we can do this. We can do this. And, you know, crazy. I think I took about 10,000 steps in a span of like 5 minutes. But yeah, they got it done.
Yeah, that was
the last couple of years of sports.
I love it.
All right. So, which of, like, the four major sports is your favorite? And, like, they're your favorite to watch?
Yeah, I'm going to go with basketball. I just think basketball is so dynamic. Mm-hmm. Every single play is super interesting. You know, and I think soccer is cool. I think NHL playoffs is amazing. The regular mm-hmm. season is terrible, but the playoffs are amazing. You know, football is obviously fun, although I get really, really upset.
Yeah.
When the Patriots are losing and they lose, and I feel like my whole week is off. And I love baseball, but it's so slow. And like, I need it to be like game five of the first round before I get excited, and like game seven of the next round before I get excited. And basketball is like, even if the Celtics play the Wizards or the Pelicans or the Thunder or even Orlando, like, basketball is just fun to watch.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And like, it never gets old.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the game I watch the most of the regular season, for sure. Like, I would agree with you that it's weird. Basketball is my favorite sport, but the Niners, like, I just have, like, a more of, like, a place in my heart for the Niners than I do the Warriors. I'm not sure why, but just, like, the NBA, like, in general, like, it's definitely my favorite sport to watch.
It seems like, I'm sure you guys have noticed on social media, the presence of basketball is just overwhelmingly engaging. And, like, I never see anything football, hockey, or baseball.
Yeah.
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 No. And it's crazy because those leagues are a lot more of a toss-up. You know what I mean?
Yep. But, you know, guys, like, that's why Sports Me thrives, is because basketball players, basketball fans can come in, they can then just start doing debates and doing battles on other topics, and other basketball fans will chime in. Mm-hmm. And so we sometimes use basketball as this conduit to, you know, explore discovery into other sports topics. And that's really awesome for us.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, no, basketball, it's definitely, they definitely have the biggest present, like, online presence. For sure. I think it's going to become the world's largest. I think it's going to overtake soccer, like, not, maybe not soon, but, like, I think so, like, it's going in that direction. I think it's becoming more worldwide. And
maybe. It's got, soccer is pretty,
yeah,
high
up.
Yeah,
they've
there.
Got a pretty good lead on them.
You forget point. The rest of the world hates America.
Yeah.
No, they don't hate America. They do like America, but they love their football. They love their soccer. And, yeah. You know, all these exciting players are not playing in the U.S., so, like, we're not used to that. Like, Ronaldo, for us, would be like LeBron James.
Yeah.
Or Jason Tatum.
I don't know about that yet. Speaking of Jason Tatum, like, what are you expecting from the Celtics this season? How do you think they're going to do, like, where do you
championship.
Think championship? You think they're going to get there, or they're going to win?
No, straight up championship. Winning the championship over your Dubs.
Mm.
In six games.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet with them. But, like, why do you think they're going to take that next step? And
you know what? I think the Warriors lost a lot of depth. I think they're not hungry. I think the fact that they have a couple guys who are injury prone, Cousins, Durant, even Clay, Curry for sure, and even Draymond, these guys have missed games. They don't have the depth. They don't even have David West anymore. Like, Looney is their best backup, and that's a little scary, right? Like, they don't have these other guys. They have Livingston. He's fine. They don't even have Swaggy anymore. You know, they lost some key guys. And I think I look at the Celtics. They're hungry. They have the best coach in the NBA. They're deep. They're long. They have Kyrie Irving, who I believe is the best player, the best point guard in the NBA. Battle me all day on that. And, you know, Horford is a beast. Jason Tatum and Brown are amazing. We can literally start 10 different players and we would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can shoot and we play defense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think they're the second best team in the league. Like,
definitely.
I'm definitely not, like, sleeping on that. Like, I think they're going to be the next team besides the Warriors to win the championship. Like, I'm pretty confident in that. I think I'd say the Warriors are going to get this next one, and then I think someone's going to be able to knock him off.
And what about Gordon Hayward? Like, if he comes back and he plays like Gordon Hayward can, and he will, because he was injured in the first game of the season. Yeah. So he literally had the entire year off. So that's, you know, fresh knees, that he's feeling good. you guys forget, a lot of people forget that he was one of four players who had, I don't remember the exact numbers, but he was one of four players who had the highest amount of points, rebounds, assists, and least amount of turnovers, like up there with like Curry, LeBron, Durant, yeah. and then Gordon Hayward. Like he's that yeah. good, and we're getting him back, and we're getting that other guy. I think you know him. His name's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, he'll help a little bit.
he does a few things other than sell lots and lots of sneakers.
Yeah, the only concern with like all like Gordon Hayward, I just think that like everybody's kind of expecting, because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum obviously like were hitting it like on full cylinders in the playoffs, like they're playing their best basketball. And I'm just thinking like with like Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back and all that, it might, you know, there might not be enough for I don't know. I just think a guy like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown might take a little step back.
We'll see. I don't think that. I actually think they're going to take another step forward, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, just not get as – yeah, we'll see.
Hey, Jason Tatum has been practicing with Kobe Bryant, and he could play a little hoop.
Yeah, no, for sure.
My thing for the Celtics is, like you said, they've got kind of like almost 10, maybe even 12 guys that are worthy of a roster spot. What happens when some people need money and the salary cap? What do you think is going to happen in that regard? Because I think there's a lot of really talented guys on that team.
You know what? After we win the title this year, I don't even care. Mm-hmm. I don't even care. Kyrie will stay. We have other guys locked up. We just need Kyrie. You know, the other guys, you know, Marcus Smart's in for like another 3 years. You know, other guys, Horford's in, Brown's in, Tatum's in, Gordon Hayward's in. All we need is Kyrie, and there's our starting five. You know, Terry Rozier? He probably won't be back, but that's okay because he deserves it. But, you know, we'll sign someone else.
No, I think they're built to be sustainable. And I think, like, their window can be so, like, open for so long because they just have picks and young players, but they also have guys like Horford and, like, Kyrie's young, but he's not, like, you know, a rookie or anything. So, like, they're built to win now and, like, 5 years down the road. So I think they're going to be good for a long time.
I think so. But it doesn't matter because we'll win the title this year and then who knows what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
From kind of, like, the Celtics to their rivals, the Lakers, what do you think about LeBron there and where do you think they kind of end up at the end of this next coming season?
You know, I love LeBron going to the Lakers for a lot of reasons. I'm happy for the city of L.A. I think that when the Lakers versus Celtics rivalry is in full throttle, like, it's good for the league, right? Like, the NBA is – Adam Silver is beating me right now. So, I think the Warriors are number one. And I do think that the Thunder will be the number two seed in the West. And I think that Melo is going to thrive in Houston, but he wasn't a great fit on OKC, and that's fine. So now Paul and Ross, they have more opportunity. They've been playing for a while. They know each other's chemistry. They're now super close friends. Roberson is healthy. You know, they have Schroeder. They get Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, and then additions.
And then I see Houston, and then I see the Nuggets. I see the Nuggets, and then I see the Lakers.
Okay.
The Nuggets are kind of being – I think they're the most underrated team, like, for just, like, a lot of casual fans coming into the year. Because they have a really good team, and they're, like, deep. They have guys, like, coming off the bench. You know, like, guys like Will Barton and Isaiah Thomas off the bench.
Isaiah should not come off the bench. That dude is literally a Terminator.
Yeah, well,
even the fact that he got Michael Porter at 14, that was a pretty good pick, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Steal, but we'll see. We'll see how he does. He was a little hyped up. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and bad backs so you never know with that.
Also, on this team, he may you don't even know like what type of, you know, you don't even know what type of playing time he's going to get because Will Barton plays a lot. You know, Gary Harris and Murray, they play a lot. These other, you know, Millsap and Joker play a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah, they have a lot of guys. He'd be like a really good, like, sixth, seventh man just coming off the bench. Like,
is Farriard still in the NBA?
Is who?
Kenneth Farriard?
Farid, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he's somewhere. I remember hearing about him and thinking he was going to become like a. Like a star, like maybe not a star, but at least like a really good player. And he just kind of, I don't know, I think it's his play style doesn't really fit the modern NBA as much.
Not so much, because he's not a great shooter and he's not a great dribbler, but he can dunk a really good. And he can rebound.
Yeah, he's on the right now.
You got to be able to shoot, you got to be able to pass. That's what the modern day NBA is, just like you said.
So, what are your thoughts? We kind of had this debate on SportsMe, and we got some good responses, but we're wondering what you think. I'm kind of assuming your answer a little bit. Thoughts on Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time and the best player of all time. Do you think he's both of those at this point?
Yeah, I probably started that battle. Of course he's the best player of all time. Look at what he's done. He's got Giselle. He's the best player of all time. I mean, look what he... Tom Brady has won 5 titles. He has countless MVPs. He might win more games than anyone in NFL history. He was a 7th rounder who no one cared about. Came in his rookie year, won a Super Bowl. He has guts. All he wants to do is win. And anyone else in his situation would take it for granted. Wouldn't be hungry. This dude plays like he's never won a title.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, me and Spencer have had this argument plenty of times. I know his answer.
I mean, I think the big difference maker for Tom is that I know it's only been, 20 plus years, a little not more than 30, but since the, you know, post salary cap era. But he's the only quarterback to have a handful of rings post salary cap, which I think is huge. Which I think, you know, it's just not – it's not going to be replicated like, it was before the salary cap when it was kind of more like baseball.
You can kind of make super teams based on the big markets.
Yeah, and who, you know, who wants to play with who and stuff like that. You know, the 49ers were pretty cool of that in
yep. the 90s. Well, I have a fun fact for you guys. I think you'll enjoy this. You guys know TB12, Tom Brady's company?
Mm-hmm.
So the head of TB12 is one of our SportsMe investors.
Oh, wow. Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll be giving away some TB12 stuff. Maybe we'll see some stuff with Tom Brady. We'll see. But I love – he's got a great brand. He's the GOAT. He really is the GOAT. And we'll see what happens this – I was angry playing against the Jags, but, a lot of
frustrating game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely their biggest competition in the AFC. I think they've proven that at this point. But I think come playoff time, the Patriots just hit another level that Blake Bortles can't get to.
Definitely.
So kind of talking on speaking of football, of course, who do you think? I think I might know who you have coming out of the AFC, but Super Bowl matchup, who do you have?
Oh man, I look at the Rams and I think to myself, like, can they actually do it? I'm not sold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sold. I think that the Vikings or I think the Vikings or the Eagles have a better – and I hate the Eagles, but I think the Vikings or the Eagles have a better chance of making it than the Rams. I see some issues all over that team, even though they're really good. I don't even know who else could – you know, the Buccaneers, like, they could make it to the Super Bowl. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing like a young Tom Brady over there. But, I, you know what – I think that the Rams could do it. I think it's one of those two teams, one of those three teams. The Saints are not really striking me as, like, that impressive so far.
Yeah,
they barely, they barely beat the Browns, and that's terrible. And I'm going to go with those three. What do you guys think? Do you think anyone else could possibly?
I would say, like, I didn't have the Rams as my top pick coming out of the NFC at the beginning of the year. But just from these first 2 weeks, I've kind of put them in there. Because the Vikings, like, I mean, they beat the Niners, but it wasn't by a convincing amount. And then they tied to the Packers. So I just think the Rams, if they can just, you know, stay healthy, I think they have the best chance. And then, yeah, obviously, I kind of have to go with the Patriots. I think they're definitely going to come out of it for the AFC.
Yeah. I mean, I hope the Patriots can.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I had Patriots Rams purely because I watched both Rams games, week one and week two, and it didn't really seem like they were completely clicking on full cylinders either. So I think, like the Patriots, it's a little bit of a learning period right now, and by the end of the season, I think they're really going to have it on track. But I have them as a team that's kind of like 1 year, 2 year, and then blow up, and then who knows? You know, they're just looking for a champion.
It's not a super sustainable team. Kind of got a bunch of, you know, really stubborn, not stubborn, but big personalities who, you know, are like, and there's a lot of money in those guys, so.
A lot of money.
Yeah, it's an interesting team for sure.
But we'll see, the NFL, any given Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's the exciting thing about it.
So we wanted to also touch on the Bruins a little bit. Last season, at least for me, I thought the Bruins were going to trend down, and they completely proved me wrong and ended up second in the Atlantic Division. They did get bounced by Tampa in the second round, but the three seasons before that, they had missed the playoffs twice and lost to the Sens in the first round. And like I said, for me, I thought they were trending downward, but obviously with this past season, they showed that they aren't done yet. What do you consider, like, the championship window for this team with Bergeron, Rask, and, you know, they got good young pieces like Krug and Pastrnak, but what do you think their window is?
You know what? I don't even know. Like, I like the Bruins. Don't get me wrong. I'm totally a bandwagon Bruins fan. In the playoffs, I become a diehard. But during the regular season, like, I don't even get into it. Like, which is sad because I'm the CEO of a sports company and doing some crazy things in sports. And I feel like, and that's kind of the problem, right? Like, none of us have time to watch all these games and all these leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bruins are like the effect of me not really being able to, not really having a lot of time. So I like the Bruins. I think they have a lot of, but I don't even know who some of the younger guys are. So, like, tell me, what do you guys think?
At least for me, I think that the Bruins, like I said, I was like, oh, the Bruins, you know, they went to that last Stanley Cup against the Blackhawks, and then they just couldn't make the playoffs, and so I was like, where are they going? Honestly, I think they're still, I think they've got maybe 3 years where they really could put together a championship run. But other than that, I think their team is, you know, grizzled with veterans. Yes, they have these young pieces, but their goalie is getting old and Rask. I do think they will be in the conversation for the Stanley Cup in the next 3 years. I think they've still got that core together.
I hope so. That would be icing on the cake with all the other teams that we have.
Definitely. And then even just touching on baseball, you just think, you know, Red Sox all the way, any other team in the league scare you? I know that there's not a whole lot.
I mean, the Houston Astros have to scare you, but
yeah.
But, you know, like, honestly, I just feel like this is the Red Sox. I mean, like, guys, JD Martinez and Mookie could both, either of them could be the MVP. Like, that never happens. And, like, last year, Mookie And I love Mookie. And I actually met his cousin this past week in LA, like a really good dude. And we were talking about Mookie and the team. And it's like last year, Mookie felt like he had to do so much because they didn't have Poppy anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And Hanley Ramirez was not that guy, to be frank. So, and that's obvious. And then now everyone can play their game, and JD just plays his game, and this dude just rakes, and he's clutch, so clutch.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pitching, the relief pitching is really good, and we'll see. You know, I'm excited to get down to the playoffs and just get the regular season over with, because I feel like it's been like 2 years.
It's ridiculous how long. Like, that's kind of one of the reasons I don't really watch much regular season baseball, just because of how long it is. Like, how many games? Just yeah, it's definitely not a sport where you can catch all the games.
No,
and baseball, I think in my mind, it's a lot different being there versus watching it on TV. It really is, more than any other sport.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yep, I would say yes, and especially the playoffs is a crazy experience, especially at Fenway Park, which is like,
oh, I bet
the Mecca is just amazing.
That's kind of moving on a little bit to our last question. What do you think is the best sports city? I know you were just mentioning Fenway. I'm sure.
You don't even need me to tell you my answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Boston. I mean,
it's undeniably Boston. You can't even argue with Boston. Even Yankee fans would say it's Boston.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the Knicks, so yeah.
I think Philly can make a run, you know.
No, stop. What have they won other than one title and like a Phillies title like 8 years ago?
Yeah.
The Flyers do have 2 '70s championships. Just
that's nothing. We have 18. We have like 12 in the last 18 years.
Yeah.
If you talk about the, if you know about the Bay Area, I mean they have, they have more teams than Boston, obviously, I guess. But like
we still have more titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Boston.
I think another thing is that the Boston teams have been just around for so long. I mean, the Bruins have been around since the 20s.
They're all just classics, like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Classic teams.
Well, also, for the most part, the Boston teams are always competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, think about how many years the Warriors were, like, the worst team in the NBA by far.
Yeah.
It was quite a while. And then to just think the last, 20 years of football, Tom Brady's been just like this rock, you know, in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Celtics, I think, you know, and the Celtics from 2010, it's not even close to the same team. Not even very similar, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all of our questions we got ready for you. I mean,
obviously, there's a lot to coming with Sports Me. Mm-hmm. We are planning on doing a, when we reconnect during Thanksgiving, doing a video where we're on YouTube and we just go on there and just do battles and do it for the YouTube channel and all kinds of stuff. But we just want to spread because your message of, you know, empowering the fans, so that's huge for us, you know what I mean?
I love it. Well, we should work with you guys on that because we would love to help you out in any way we can. I mean, we help out literally every single fan on earth. It's all we do is give them power, but we'd love to help you guys out any way we can. I love the concept.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for like supporting us and all that.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you. And then thank you again for just coming on here and chatting with us about, you know, sports and all that.
Of course, guys. I love, you know, I feel like you asked me early on why do I love working in sports? And I love working in sports because I feel like the industry doesn't care about the everyday fan, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all we do. Like, I am so passionately devoted to it, making sure that every fan and athlete, because they're part of this new world, is empowered and has a voice. And like, and you know what? It's time that we took back what should be ours.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Fans are what makes it all go. It makes the whole system run.
And you know who truly cares about you guys in this industry?
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody. They don't care.
Yeah.
You want your
they don't care.
It's a business. What'd you
say? It's a business, and they don't care. You're a dollar figure. You are, and so, you know, that's what it is, and we think differently. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
we're really glad we just met you and found out about SportsMe, because before you know, you had messaged us. We really had no idea, and we were looking at, on how we could change the sports world ourselves too. You know,
well, you certainly can. You know, continue to tell your boys and girls. We have a ton of girls in the app. You know, the more people you tell, you know, we're not on Android yet, which we know is a barrier. We'll be on Android in a couple months. Like, we can't wait. That's 2/3 of people that want to get on SportsMe that can't.
Mm-hmm.
But keep telling your boys, you know, at Indiana, at Santa Cruz, the more people that we can get on, whether they're watching or doing debates, the faster fans can take over and have more and more athletes join.
Yeah. No, it's definitely it's an exciting, you know, kind of movement to be a part of.
Awesome. Well, I'm so happy that you guys invited me on your podcast. I'm a huge fan of both of you. And anyone who's listening, hop on, send them a battle request or join one of the battles. Probably lose or win, but either way, it'll be fun. And soon, even more than that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the call with us, and can't wait to, you know, keep in touch with you, you know, make some battles and see where this thing goes.
Awesome. I love it, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.